Boston Celtics making big moves. Malcolm Brogdon trade. Danilo Gallinari signed. What's next for them? And then a little bit of Brad Stevens love, because, man, he is killing it on his job. It's all right now. And a bonus, Locked On Celtics.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked On number 18, Tatum and Brown, J team. Step back, we gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how I started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked On Celtics pod, home of the winners. B.
Oh boy, bonus podcast. Thank you for joining the Locked On Celtics podcast. Free, available Monday through Friday. Gimme, gimme, gimme all the page views, all the money. Let's go. Thank you, Celtics, for helping us just keep racking up the views, being interesting. Trade, signings, Danilo Gallinari, Malcolm Brogdon. Lots to talk about. Lots to talk about. This show, free, available Monday through Friday. And now, Saturday, Friday afternoon, whatever, just blowing up my numbers. Plenty to talk about, Tom Westerholm? Plenty to talk about?
You thought you were done with weekend shows when the Celtics bowed out of the NBA Finals. But, buddy, did they have something for you.
Yeah. I might have upset Brad Stevens. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, John? Watch this.
So Brad Stevens cannot get enough of Locked On Celtics.
No, he cannot. He cannot. I know he's a very avid listener. I'm John Corrales, by the way, Boston Sports Journal, Tom Westerholm, Boston.com. And the Celtics on Friday, like, it's quiet. You know, I did a podcast last night. I waited till after midnight. Still nothing. No news. No nothing. Said, all right, we'll see. We'll see what they do on Friday. You know, kind of woke up, got my coffee, sit down. I was like, oh, well, okay. Gallo. That's good. Gallo. That's good. Let me just write that up. I'm like, okay. You know, my opinion at that point, I was like, okay, they used it. They're going to wait to see how some other stuff goes. Probably fine if I go do my other stuff. And then Woj had other things, other thoughts. So let's just start with that. Malcolm Brogdon. Surprising trade. Especially, you know, people brought up Brogdon. I said, you know, 22 million. I didn't think that was going to be a priority, but they took that thing. I'd always laid out the use the TPE, use your mid-level exception. And then later on somewhere you could do Tice, bench guy, first round pick, and try to get somebody with that combination. And they went Tice, bench guy, plus bench guy, plus bench guy, plus bench guy, first round pick, and they brought back Malcolm Brogdon. So I appreciate being somewhat right in on the frame of mind, the thinking of how to add to this team. But this is not the way I thought it was going to go. I thought they would have just done the smaller one for a guy making 14 or 15. So what do you make of Malcolm Brogdon coming in?
So my initial take is just how perfectly suited this is to I tweeted this, but how perfectly suited this is to make everybody feel like they were 100% right with their Celtics take, because every anti-Marcus Smart person is like, see, I freaking told you they needed another ball handler. They needed another point guard. Marcus Smart isn't that guy. And then everybody else who, you know, likes Marcus Smart and thinks he's, you know, a good basketball player is like, well, but Brogdon isn't a pure point guard.
Right.
It kind of makes a lot of sense to have him if you plan to keep Marcus Smart as your pure point guard. And both sides kind of have a point, right? Because on the one hand, yeah, I mean, the Celtics turn the ball over like crazy in the playoffs, and it does make sense to get another ball handler. And on the other hand, again, Brogdon just isn't, he's not a pure point guard. He is really good at, he's a great spot up shooter. You know, he's a guy who can play off the ball. He's another guy who certainly won't be a target when he's healthy defensively. Like, he is in many ways just that kind of combo guard that the Celtics really seem to like, because now they have three of them. So, right. You know, I do think it's interesting that the Celtics have three of those guys and three guys who they're committed to long term and who they paid a pretty hefty price for in terms of, you know, a first round pick. And, you know, I mean, really with Brogdon, I mean, I think that's the crazy thing, right, is that that was the heavy price they paid. You look at the rest of that package and, I mean, Daniel Tice is a perfectly serviceable player, but like, you know,
right.
Go with God, my man. And then like, you know, Aaron Nesmith, like I was high on him coming out of the draft. You know, he hasn't really done anything yet. We'll see if he does something in Indiana. I hope he does for his sake and for my sake as a talent evaluator. But I just like, you know, the price they paid for Brogdon and the potential fit that he brings and just the, you know, the little bit of extra insurance that he offers Smart and that Smart can offer him and that Derek White can offer both of them as well. I mean, it's a great, great trade by Brad Stevens. Really impressive stuff to start the offseason here.
Yeah. I mean, you keep Smart, you keep Derek White. I don't think this is the precursor of one of those guys going.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Okay. Yeah. I think the one thing where the people who are screaming like, see, told you Smart isn't the guy. I still think Smart is the guy. Like, yeah. I still think Smart is your starting point guard. I don't think this changes anything. Brogdon isn't a pass first point guard. They both average the same amount of assists. Yep. I got to look at their assist rate, but I think their assist rates are pretty similar. Like they're kind of similar in, you know, offensively minus, you know, Brogdon is a better shooter. Right. I can think other than that, like, I don't think Brogdon's particularly fast. I don't think he's a better shooter. So great. That's great. Like you can now throw Brogdon and Smart out there together, Brogdon and White out there together, Brogdon alone out there. Somebody was saying like, look, a bench unit, you know, you start the second quarter. You typically start the second quarter with Tatum on the bench and Smart on the bench. And you can get like Rob or whatever backup big, couple of guys off the bench, and you're starting. And then Brogdon, Jalen as your back. Like, that's pretty good. Malcolm Brogdon and Jalen Brown starting a quarter for you makes you feel a whole lot better about starting that second quarter. It takes pressure off of Jalen Brown. It's really the way they went about it. I think works. And you're right. You're absolutely right. It satisfies both sides. I think it satisfies both sides. It satisfies me because I still think that Smart is starter worthy. And that Celtics starting lineup of Smart, Jalen, Jason, Rob, and Al, which was very, very, very good, still stays intact. So you keep that intact and you have a bench now that you're like, oh, well, Brogdon at his best is, you know, 18, 19 points a game. If you get him up to 30 minutes, that not only gets you relief, it means that you don't have to play Tatum and Brown as much. Like, I think it accomplishes a lot of goals. People are going to look at it purely as the point guard guy, but it takes minutes off of Tatum's legs, off of Jalen's legs. It takes a lot of minutes away. You can pile up the 30 minutes for him just by limiting some other guys. I think that might be the biggest impact of the Brogdon move alone.
Yeah, and add White, like I think you said that, but add Derek White to that too, right? And I think the big beneficiary is Jalen to me. And not for nothing, of the two Jays, Jalen has been the most injury prone. So, like, you really do steal a lot of those sort of, like, I mean, he was mostly a shooting guard in the starting lineup last year. You can take a lot of those minutes away, and I don't know how the Celtics are going to start next year. I actually tweeted that. I think it's kind of interesting to wonder how they're going to go about that when you look at, yeah, like, starter healthy Malcolm Brogdon is obviously a starter quality player, and you know, I mean, he needs his 30 minutes, but I also don't know how you feel good about breaking up that starting lineup that was so clearly, like, by far and away the best starting lineup in the NBA last year. Now we'll see what else the Celtics do. If they don't significantly add to their big depth, I think that's your answer, right? Is that Horford becomes your backup big, and you know, you just, like, you don't have that many, you don't have enough, you know, like, your centers need to kind of be split up a little bit. But I mean, look, I think the depth is so much better. This addresses several issues with one move, and not for nothing. I think it's hilarious. Like, how many times when the Celtics would play against Malcolm Brogdon, when Brad Stevens was giving his pregame comments, did we hear Brad Stevens shout out Malcolm Brogdon and be like, and that guy, you know, he's just like, you know, whatever Brad Stevenism we would get for him. You know, this is like, this is a, probably should have been a little bit more predictable, but realistically it is like a move that, you know, I think addresses a lot of sort of the question marks and the holes in the roster that you and I talked about. Kind of before the draft, this checks many, many of those boxes, I think.
Yeah. Look, he said he wanted playmaking. He said he wanted bench scoring.
Yep.
You know, the big thing is making him, making sure that he's cool with coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody should be on board. Like, I think coming into a championship, potential championship situation, you've got a team that went to the finals. I mean, look at that. You got a team that went to the finals. You're adding Malcolm Brogdon, Danilo Gallinari. And you still have tools to add to the team. That's pretty good. And I think you go to Malcolm and you say, look, you're going to start some because Marcus will be hurt. You're going to not play some because you're going to be hurt. Like, there's going to be a little bit of both here. And you know, you might say, I feel better about slotting Brogdon in as the spot starter when Jalen misses a week, Tatum misses a few games. I'd rather instead of bringing Derek White in to start, I feel better about slotting Brogdon in and saying, you know, Brogdon can start off the ball. He very easily can play off the ball, and you might go a little smaller, but look, he's 6'5". Jalen's like 6'6". So it's like, yeah, it's not that much of it. You're not really losing much. So in that role, a backup role, keeping that starting unit intact, I like it. Let's take a second here. I'm going to take a second here to talk to you about Arcade 1UP. You know, I've been talking about NBA Jam. NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1UP is the leader in home retro arcade games. It's bringing back NBA Jam and your opportunity for the bigger and better than ever Shaq Edition machine. You can pop that wherever you want to put it, in an office, a man cave, a kid's room. Who doesn't love NBA Jam? To have one of these three-quarter scale size machines in your home is going to be awesome. And you know how NBA Jam goes, no fouls, no free throws, and now no quarters required. You can compete with friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making you more connected than ever. Pre-order now from arcade1up.com. That's arcade1up.com for an estimated early September ship date. Arcade 1UP is the place for fun. They've got more classics like Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, and others starting at just $399. They're giving away the NBA Shaq edition to a Locked On Celtics listener, so enter for your chance to win a game console. That's arcade1up.com/lockedon. arcade1up.com/lockedon. You've got until July 8th to enter to win NBA Jam Shaq Edition. Don't miss out. Enter today. Who are you going to play with? All right, so Malcolm Brogdon, part of the team. Danilo Gallinari, part of the team. We talked about him a little bit before, but now it's official. So the Celtics have their starting five, a bench of Derek White, Grant Williams coming back, Gallinari, and Malcolm Brogdon. That's a pretty good group. That's a pretty solid bench. That might be one of the better benches now with those additions. Haven't even talked about Peyton Pritchard, but I like the mix.
Or Sam Hauser.
He will be coming back. But I like the mix. I think Gallo can give Al Horford some time to rest. This is the important part. Like, you can go small, you can play five out, you can go big, you can put, you know, Gallo as a big three if you want.
Yeah.
You can play multiple different styles. Whatever works is, you know, you have options. Even though Gallinari is not exactly the best defender out there, but you know that I don't think they took huge defensive hits with these additions.
No, I don't think so either. I think that's the big benefit of having such a versatile, you know, team defensively, right? Like if there's a team that's able to hide Gallo and you know, any of the other guys, it's like the Celtics have plenty of personnel in that regard. So yeah, no, I think adding Gallinari makes a lot of sense. I think I almost, you know, you look at this team right now and it does kind of like, are you 100% that Gallo at this age is gonna keep like being able to shoot the ball? And if not, do you want to go like maybe, you know, take like the TPE is still there? Yeah, no, you could theoretically, you know, go try to pick up one more shooter. You know, I don't know if we're gonna get to that or not, but I do think that, you know, like Gallo's, you know, like Stevens is pretty clearly angling toward guys who he knows can play, right? I think Brad had
proven
enough of like enough of the young guys, enough of the mm-hmm. let's take a flyer on this guy. Brad's not taking any more flyers. Brad is done with this flyer crap, and nope. He's ready for guys who have proven that they can shoot and have proven that they can impact winning at this level. I think like from that perspective, Gallo makes a lot of sense. Brad has seen him torch the Celtics. He has torched a lot of teams from three over the years. So, I think it's a pretty good signing.
He shot 10 of 12 from three a couple seasons ago against the Celtics. So
that is still one of the funniest, like just that whole season was such a dumpster fire. And game was hysterical. Just watching Danilo Gallinari demolish the Celtics.
Oh my God.
A wild scene.
That was, that was kind of nuts. Obviously, some of the things as we hear small children start to show up behind Tom Westerholm. this is another cameo is soon to happen. we've seen, it's pretty obvious that Brad Stevens does not care about the draft for this team, which is something we've talked about before. I've certainly talked about it a bunch. There's no one in the upcoming draft that realistically where the Celtics can finish that's going to help this team in the short term. That's just not happening. So Brad Stevens doesn't care. Yeah, first round pick for Malcolm Brogdon. Sure. Who in that draft in the 2023 draft is going to be helpful to the Celtics right now? Nobody. So I like what he's doing. Like he traded the 2022 pick. That was the Al Horford deal, right? So then the 2023 pick goes out in Brogdon. Now, I don't think they trade any other first round picks at this point because they're not, I don't think anybody else that's out there for what the Celtics are trying to accomplish are first round pick worthy.
Yes. Yep.
But when next summer comes around, that 2024 pick up for grabs, baby.
Oh,
for
yeah. Sure.
You know, like that's it, why bother holding on to it and treating it like it's some golden thing? Use it for its value. You've essentially, I love making this, you've essentially drafted Malcolm Brogdon and, you know, for the next few years. That works.
Yeah, 100%. Because, I mean, look, like for two reasons, right? The first one being a first round pick has a guaranteed contract, right? So, you know, that's like a roster spot that you have to
yes.
Like it's gone. And whereas like these second round guys, right? Like I think you mentioned it, like JD Davison isn't, I mean, he's not guaranteed anything. Like maybe he doesn't perform that well at Summer League and the Celtics are looking at a two-way, you know, like that you can do that because he's a second round pick. Can't do that if it's a first round pick. And I think the other thing that Brad's doing that's really smart, like, okay, so he had the one pick that's out in 2028, right? Like that's the Derek White deal. That's a long time down the road. It's a bit of a risk, you know. It's a, you know, a little scary if you're the Celtics. But for the rest of, you know, going forward, Brad can keep doing this, you know, kind of as long as he wants to, right? Like he could just keep going. And if he does that, like if he starts, you know, if he hangs onto the pick and then kind of trades it in the offseason for a guy that he actually wants, that protects the Celtics from these scary deals. I mean, I don't know if we're going to talk about like full NBA stuff, but the Timberwolves just mortgaged their entire future for a guy who can't stay on the court in the playoffs. Like the Celtics aren't going to do that. They're not going to mortgage their entire future. They can just keep drafting guys they like with a single first round pick until their team isn't good. And then Brad can start using the picks again. Yeah. So look, I am an avowed draft guy. I love the draft. I love scouting. I love college basketball. I love prospects, but this is a no-brainer. The Celtics are not a draft team. Any guy they draft is just going to get buried on the bench, and it wouldn't be that fun anyway. It would just be a terrible spot for him. So in a lot of ways, the Celtics are doing kind of I don't mean to keep gassing Brad up here. At some point, I need to come up with a way of criticizing. But they're almost kind of doing like a responsible thing, right? Because these guys, if they drafted somebody with the 30th pick, that guy would be in a tough, tough situation.
Right.
Instead, again, I keep going back to his comments on draft night where he said, you know, we want to be sort of the launching ground for your career for JD Davison.
Mm-hmm.
That's a much more reasonable way to go about things than, you know, taking a first round pick and just kind of putting him on the bench and being like, maybe you get some time. Like,
right.
That's not fair to, you know, that's not useful for the Celtics and not fair for a prospect. I hope Brad keeps doing this indefinitely until the Celtics aren't contenders anymore. And then he can start building through the draft again. And then I get what I want. So
look, there are stages in a team,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
There's the, you get the big time top five picks, you get your stars. If things go right, if things go the way they're supposed to go, you use top five picks to get the centerpieces of your franchise. Well, you got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, both third overall picks, and Tatum basically the number one pick.
Yep.
Then you get your mid-tier guys as you're getting better and you kind of are too good for that early lottery. Then you get to that mid-lottery, mid-draft, and maybe you hit on a few guys that can contribute. That's where you get Robert Williams and Grant Williams, and Marcus Smart is in the high end of that range. And then after that... Well,
I mean, yes, but Smart was before all that. So that's kind of a weird one.
Right, it's a weird one.
Yes.
That's where you get those guys. And then after that, your picks don't matter anymore.
Right.
Because you're at the bottom of the draft and you're like, well, screw this. Let's just use these and see if you can sweeten the pot. And this is where the Celtics are now. It's actually kind of going the natural life cycle. And then at some point, these guys are either going to want out, Jalen or Jason leaves, or somebody, you know, or it just runs its course and they get old. And then all of a sudden it starts to get to the, all right, move on to the next thing. You get the Paul Pierce KG type of deal and you start from the bottom all over again. You grow it all over again. That's the circle of life in the NBA, and the Celtics are here. So this is great. I love where they are, and I love the year by year thing. And this is for people who don't know the Stepien rule, which prevents a team from, like, the Celtics can't trade the 2024 pick now.
Right.
But when the new year flips, they can. It starts over because you can't trade consecutive ones, so they can trade it again there. Let's take a second because we're gassing up Brad. He deserves to be gassed up right now.
He's having a good day.
He's having a good start to his career here in this. So we'll do that, and then we'll get into some of the bigger picture stuff. I just want to quickly mention BetOnline, your number one source for all of your betting needs, sports info. I'm not sure if people would have bet on Rudy Gobert going to Minnesota, but that's where he landed, and we'll talk about that. Latest developments, league reviews, news, baseball, MMA, boxing, golf, tennis, Wimbledon's going on. Throw some money down on that if you are so inclined. BetOnline, your continued source for all of the sports wagering information, including live betting. You can even bet on esports. So head on over to the website, betonline.net today. You can use your mobile device if you'd like. Learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline is where the game starts. So Tom, Brad Stevens, I think, is a great coach. He was a great coach. I thought he was really good for the Celtics. Maybe he's just a better GM, president of basketball operations. Maybe this is actually where he's supposed to be. Because you remember, like, Danny Ainge was a coach and he was okay. And there are coaches who get into the GMing and you're like, oh, okay, that's better. The combination of Brad Stevens and Ime Udoka is actually a really good combination, front office and coach. Has Brad had a misstep? Dennis Schroeder? Is that the misstep that you can we say that?
Enes Kanter? Enes Freedom?
Oh, Enes, yeah. But that was, I guess.
No, that's a misstep. That was a terrible sign. I mean, it wasn't particularly costly, but it was a bad one.
It was a bad sign.
Schroeder was much more costly, but like they rectified that quite quickly. I think after that offseason, no, he has not had a misstep.
Yeah. So you get Horford. That deal looks amazing now. I mean, it looks like amazing. The extensions for Rob and for Smart look really good.
Yep.
These deals look really good. Getting Tice back and then flipping Tice again. poor Daniel Tice getting the Antoine Walker treatment. I think Brad Stevens is, I think all of the pieces that are going to be written today for tomorrow are going to be like, wow, Brad Stevens is on a roll here. He starts off on a heater. Jaylen Brown-esque first quarter to his career.
Yeah, you just got to get a little bit more sustainable, hopefully.
Yeah, right? hopefully.
I think one of the things, like a president of basketball operations, right? Like the thing that we know that Brad is really good at is preparation. He just prepares. He always watched all the film, did all that stuff. And for a president of basketball operations, I just think that's so important, right? Like you know and you have a good sense of who guys are and how they fit on your team and all that stuff. And Brad was always so good at that stuff. And I think that just that fits, you know, as a coach, that does a lot, right? But there's a lot of other things go into coaching too. And Brad was good at a lot of them, but he mm-hmm. wasn't as good as Ime at some of them, right? You know, I think we saw that this year. I think we've seen that with some of the buy-in that Ime's gotten with his players. And not that Brad didn't have buy-in, but I don't think he had it to this level, right? And as my nephew swings a pool stick right behind me, I might
get, is that what that was?
Oh yeah.
Are you gonna get cracked over the head?
I might get concussed here. Yeah.
Oh, this is something not only have to watch on YouTube.
YouTube audience, not only a pool cue, but like one of these.
Oh, it was the bridge. Oh, that would have been bad.
That would have hurt, dog.
That would have hurt. And you know those toddlers, they have weird strength.
Yeah. Yep. So as I duck and cover, I'll finish my point by saying Brad Stevens prepares very well, which I think really bodes well for his continued success as president of basketball operations.
Yeah. People are going to get really confused when you're holding up a pool bridge in the thumbnail of this podcast. What?
Why does he have brass knuckles? What is going on this pod?
Is that? Oh, okay. Whatever. All right. So what does Brad do next? I honestly, at this point, don't think they use the TPE now. It expires July 18th. I don't know. Let me rephrase that. I don't think they use it the way I thought they were going to use it before. I thought they were going to try to use the whole thing. But with this player trade, player for player trade, they might use some of it. They can still use as much as they need for a backup big. They've lost their third big. So I think they scan the market for a big that they can acquire for a fake second rounder. But I think that's it. Either veteran minimum deals, which if you do a veteran minimum deal, then you can add a guy without increasing your tax. If you decide that you have to use your MLE, then you have to pay the tax on that, which, by the way, the Celtics as of right now seem to be about $17 million over the tax line. That's a $35,250,000 tax bill, approximately, depending on what the final number is. They don't calculate the tax to the end of the year, so there's time to change that, but as of right now, the tax bill would be about $35 million. Do people care? Do you, the listener, care? No, because you're saying, good, pay the tax. That's what you do when you pay a champion. You build a champion. But just be mindful that they are now in they're in the top tax tier. And I want to explain the tax tiers real quick. It's not a dollar-for-dollar tax. They are in they're not in the top tier yet. There's one more tier to go, but there's five tiers, $5 million increments each time. It starts at $1.50 each time the tax rate goes up by a little bit more. They are now being taxed at $3.25 per every dollar they're over. So I don't think they want to go past that. You know, you add $1 million salary, you got to pay 3.25 in tax on that every million that salary goes up. So if they add $2 million in salary, let's say on just trading for a guy, well, now you're paying $6.5 million. So that's an $8.5 million player. That changes, I think, the type of guy they'll go for. So I don't know that that using the TPE to get a big is going to be exactly the way they go. They might go with the minimum, which is calculated differently. Also, Tom, was my math right there?
I think so. I'm looking at the tax tiers. I think the only thing is
quick math in my head. It's always scary.
it's, It's tough. I think the only thing that you might get tripped up on is that if guys get a certain amount, it's like for every additional 5 million above, you know, beyond 20 million, the rate goes up even more. It's like, so like if the Celtics got into that range, at that point, you're talking about even more money. Basically, what I'm saying is that they're not going to go get Duncan Robinson because he would become like an $80 million man like no reason, right?
That's what we're saying.
Yeah. So I think you're right. Like, or you know, like whatever big they traded for under the TPE. If they, like you said, I think if they make, I think they will probably try to get some big man, you know, for whether it's the veteran minimum or some cheaper guy into maybe even one of their smaller TPEs, right? Like just,
I'm sharing on the YouTube the actual table from CBAFAQ.com, which is Larry Kuhn's indispensable tool. You can see there the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different tiers. The Celtics are a non-repeater team and what they're paying in tax. So
yeah,
I'll leave that up while we continue that. If you want to know, if you want to see it, you can just watch it on YouTube.
Oh, that was nice. Yeah. So we won't explain any more of these tiers. If you want to, know what they are, you got to become one of the YouTube people. But no, I think generally speaking, the Celtics will probably be looking for more bargain bin type contracts going forward. And honestly, I mean, what else could you ask for? Like, this is like you wanted the Celtics to kind of run it back with the same team. I think that's what everybody wants. Like, you know, not everybody, but a lot of people wanted, you know, they wanted to see this team try to win again. Don't blow things up for Kevin Durant. Don't trade Jaylen Brown, blah, blah, blah. All that stuff that we said too. This is it. Like, that not only did they manage to like add to their team, they managed to add to their team without taking any rotation pieces away. That whole rotation is still in place. That's crazy. So yeah, on the Celtics, I'm feeling pretty good. Like, yeah, if the TPE goes away, oh well, they brought in Malcolm Brogdon, which is better than, you know, a healthy Malcolm Brogdon, I am pretty sure is better than every single person that I put in my potential TPE targets, you know, in all those posts that we did. Like, healthy Malcolm Brogdon is good, and he's going to help a lot.
He is going to help if he's healthy. If he's healthy, which is always a question. I mean, the Celtics are basically
and real quick, if he's not healthy, then the Celtics just have last year's team and they can do it again.
Right. You can withstand the however long he's out. And I think they're in a good spot. You take a team that went to the finals and had a 2-1 lead, and you add Malcolm Brogdon and Gallinari to the squad. I think that's a successful, you've accomplished your goal. You said you wanted scoring, you said you wanted playmaking, you've got both. You've added, looking at last season's numbers, about 30 points worth of scoring.
Yeah.
Now, are they going to combine to average 30 off the bench? I don't know. It's different situation, different teammates. But even if it's 25, you're adding significant scoring. How many games would the Celtics have won if they had another 20 to 25 points off the bench? How about all of those finals games? They would have won all of those finals games just with that if their bench, because you look at the Celtics had early leads in those games, and it was when their bench, when the Golden State bench came in, that they outplayed the Celtics bench. And that bench for the Celtics was so unplayable by the end that Tatum and Brown and Smart were just gassed, and that's it. So this accomplishes their exact goal.
I think the only word of caution I will offer for like Celtics fans, because obviously you know this, but like I do think that there obviously is often a, like, it's not that the Celtics aren't just going to be automatically adding Brogdon's, like, you know, 20-ish whatever points per game, right? It's not a perfect one-to-one.
Right,
the fit
right,
still right. has to work. Brogdon still has to, like on paper, it, like, I will stand by my analysis by saying that this is like an almost perfect trade on paper, and all we have right now is on paper. Sometimes these things don't work quite as well, so like any number of things could potentially happen.
Sure.
So on you know, Friday, July 1, when we're gassing Brad Stevens up to the moon, it's, you know, it looks really good. But that is, I think, and that's the only like caution that I think is necessary, is just like, it's the NBA. Sometimes weird stuff happens. Yeah. But as far as, like, again, Brad Stevens, his preparation is immaculate, and like, so has his offseason been so far.
You want another weird thing that happened in the NBA?
I do.
How about Rudy Gobert going to the Minnesota Timberwolves? This is crazy. Timberwolves sending Malik Beasley, Pat Beverly, Jared Vanderbilt, Leandro Balmero, Walker Kessler, and four first-round picks unprotected. Unprotected. Ooh. Danny Ainge, king of the unprotected picks. 23.
I think one of them has like a top five protection, but regardless.
2023, 2025, 2027, unprotected. 2029, top five.
Yeah.
So that's that. And there's now they're reportedly just building around Donovan and keeping him. And there's a rumor that they want to go after Ayton now.
Yeah.
Maybe flip some of those picks for Ayton or something. Some of those players. Boy, that'd be something.
I love it. Honestly, I love everything about that for Utah because, one, they got rid of the guy who I just don't respect as a basketball player. And two, they kept the guy who I think is pretty good, and now, you know, now they can, like, try to build something around him with all these extra assets. I think it's great. Like, what a move.
Yeah.
You know, just and I think it's more fun than a total teardown too, right? Like I understand what OKC and Houston are doing. Makes sense, especially Houston's got, like, you know, they've got, like, these two young studs now. It's going to be fun going forward. But it is more, like, team building is more interesting when, like, there's a little bit more going on than just, like, scouting college guys, right? Like, this is more fun as far as those things go. So I'm fascinated to see what Danny Ainge does now. My quick side note is we were just talking about, you know, guys that the Celtics could bring in bargain bin contracts. How about this? I don't think the Pacers have any real use for Daniel Theis. Why don't you just buy him out? Celtics at the minimum. Just bring him back. Let's keep the party going.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's the no reacquiring rule.
Oh, you're right.
The path to Daniel Theis is that you buy him out, he gets signed somewhere else, and right. Then that team buys him out or right. trades him. So that would be hilarious. How many picks can the Celtics give and then give up in Daniel Theis trades? That would be funny.
Maybe we find out. I mean, like, this has been a super fun start to, like, everything. Like, yeah. just a blast. Like, because I feel like sometimes, like, the start of NBA free agency is fun, but then the Celtics are just kind of sitting out. So, you know, you're just kind of sitting back and enjoying. This has had everything. This has had insane superstar. You know, like rumors and craziness. The Celtics have been involved, and not just involved in, like, signing Danilo. Like, they've made, like, big moves. Like, this is great. This has been a fun couple of days.
Let's finish with this, because Adam Himmelsbach from the Globe just tweeted this out. We mentioned it before. Celtics are expected to agree to a multi-year deal with Sam Hauser in the next coming days. I find this interesting. This is an interesting bit of team building. The Celtics are preemptively they're declining. A lot of teams are declining future options, making guys restricted free agents a year earlier than they have to, with the intent to re-sign them.
Yes.
So the Celtics, normally teams would be like, we like this guy, we'll just pick up his option, and next year he'll be a restricted free agent. The Celtics and other teams have been saying, you know what, we're going to decline the option with the intent to re-sign. Make him a restricted free agent now. I think they're doing it because they feel good about where this kid could be, and they're trying to lock him up cheap because he's not sure where he's going to be.
Yep.
So he's going to take the guaranteed money. I feel like the Celtics, if you said, where do you think Sam Hauser will be in 5 years? And they'll probably, because of this move, I feel like they'll probably say really good things. Like, they like where he's headed. And they don't want to pay the premium next season. They want to be like, hey, you know, you're kind of iffy, you didn't play. Let's just lock you up long term. We'll give you guaranteed, I don't know, what's it going to be, 3 years, $10 million or something like that. They'll give him some guaranteed money, whatever the number ends up being. And he'll be like, yeah, give me $10 million. I'll take that.
Yep.
And in the meantime, by year two, we'd be like, oh, yeah, he's worth a lot more than $10 million. I feel like that's where the Celtics' heads are at.
The labor advocate in me thinks this is nasty business. The basketball analyst in me is like, whoo, yeah, smart. That makes a lot of sense.
I, as a former head of multiple union shops, I understand where you're coming from on this.
However, it is good business. I mean, it's
good basketball business.
It is. Yeah.
This is, you know.
And also, it's hard to feel too bad for a guy who's going to be making millions of dollars in a year.
Right. Right. But this seems to be like a trend. Like I can't remember how many guys have done, but I've seen a lot of guys have this happen this year. This is the first year I've seen that happen. I don't know if it's how often it's happened before, but I've seen a spate of declining future options for the purpose of re-signing guys, which is kind of a new thing to me.
Well, and it's so smart, right? Because like everything that you said, but also restricted free agency is such an unbelievably valuable tool in every team's toolbox. Like, why not get to it sooner? Sooner you can use that tool, the better off you might be, right? Like, it just kind of makes sense. Like, restricted free agency is unbelievably tilted toward teams. And, you can just pull that out sooner. Like, there's no reason to... No reason to try to. I need analogy, man. Here, there's no reason to try to use a screwdriver on all your drywall screws when you could just pull out your good tool, you know, your impact driver right away. That wasn't very good. Come on, analogy, man. Where are you at?
I don't know. It's too early for analogy, man. He's sleeping. I got nothing for you.
He's too sober right now.
I know. Analogy, man. I think needs about three bourbons to properly activate.
Shout out to the Twitter, the person on Twitter who requested analogy, man. I tried to bring him out. My apologies. He just wasn't ready. There was no phone booths nearby to, throw on his cape.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying, I can't force it. The thing about analogy, man, is if it's not popping into the head, then you get bad analogies.
What a useless superhero. You can't like the bat.
That's exactly my point. It's useless. It's a useless superpower. It's a useless superpower. I've been coming up with these useless superpowers. You know my other useless superpower? When you get like a hummus plate at a restaurant, all right?
Uh-huh.
They always give you the pita chips and the vegetables and all of that stuff. The useless superpower is instinctively being able to, or coming in and being able to say, this is the exact amount of hummus that you need to make sure you get the same amount on all of these pieces. So the last piece, you're not like too much
or
too little, because it's an annoying little thing that happens, but it's all happening. Everybody listening, everybody watching, you know what's happened to you. You get a plate, a dip or something like that. You start out conservative and you're like, okay, I want to make sure I have enough at the end. And next thing you know, you got a pita chip that's like this little size, and you've got like a baseball of hummus at the top because you don't want to waste it.
As soon as you said hummus plate, I was like, I bet I know what this is. And I was right. So yeah,
that's
pretty good.
It's a superpower because it's useful in a sense, but it's actually really useless.
Yeah.
Maybe that's analogy man's day thing. Maybe he's out measuring hummus for people. I don't know.
The best hummus measurer out there. Mine is that I can memorize license plates like that.
Oh God. Well, see again, useless superpower. You're like, who cares? But I still forget my license plate number.
I can remember like four of mine going back. So yeah.
Man. See, that's good.
No, it's not. It's useless. It's as useful as hummus. That wraps up the Malcolm Brogdon pod.
All right. Yeah. That's what you get when you get a bonus pod. It's Friday afternoon. I've got a hummus plate and bourbon on my mind. That's what I'm looking to go do. There's a margarita somewhere and a burrito that I'm dying to have. I'm just like thinking about food and drinks. It's Friday. So
I'm just trying not to get the crap kicked out of me by my nephew with the pool cue who's back. So,
Do you owe him money?
I don't know if I do, but he's definitely trying to shake me down.
He's just walking around like, hey, you got about two more hours there, buddy, or the interest starts to kick in.
Otherwise, you're going to owe me so many Fruit Loops.
All right. Go tend to your shady business with your gangster toddler. Thank you, Tom _NBA, the _ boys, back in action. And I'm John _Corrales on Twitter. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Bonus podcast, Celtics making moves. We like them. I'm sure you like them too. Share your thoughts with us on Twitter. Or in the comments below on YouTube. or just, you know, say them out loud and pretend that I can hear them. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. If you are subscribed, please share the podcast. Tell your friends, tell everybody they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.